Hello, Toby Clark from Walking Ibiza, now known as Ibiza Outdoors. I am on the Mallorca Around the Island Challenge, just me, myself and I. Day 16, Friday the 7th of October. Can't quite believe I've been going for 16 days. This podcast is coming to you raw and unedited even. That just proves that it is unedited because I can't edit that out now, can I? Or I could, but I couldn't. Nope, I'm just going to go with it as it is. So day 15, I missed out if you've been that closely following, because I had a day of rest. I was at the lovely town of Luc, LLUC, which has a monastery there. It's actually not a monastery, it's a sanctuary, they call it. It's a Catholic ran hotel, basically. It used to be where you would go and stay and be trained up to be a priest, I'm guessing, back in the days. But now they've realised they can make much more money out of renting out the rooms to people who want to go and stay in beautiful places, in very far off places. So I spent day number 15 there, which was rather beautiful. Actually went to service in their basilica, which was supposedly designed by Gaudi, or Gaudi had some influence on it. A lot of money in that place, marble everywhere, beautiful furniture. The church has plenty of money, and then they asked for a donation at the end, but I gave a little one. Maybe not. Did I? Maybe did. And they've got one of the oldest running choirs since 1512 or something ridiculous. They've had a choir there, so I went to listen to the choir, and they make a big thing of it, and all they do is come out, sing two songs, and that's it, and then they bugger off again. I thought, could get a bit more than two songs, couldn't we? But anyway, it's very nice. Had a very interesting dinner there. I was there for two nights, so it tied in with getting a place in the refuge where I am now, and it meant I had to spend two nights there. So I had a full day's rest yesterday, which honestly has done me so much good. Really do feel refreshed, and I'll get on to today more. So I went down for dinner, which is sort of quite a nice restaurant with a good a la carte menu, and I saw some vegan things on there. But then they gave out a plastified menu because you're half bored, and you have to sort of have a thing off this menu. So there really was not on it, and I said to the waitress, I'm vegan, and I'd actually emailed them about 4 days, maybe 4 days before, because I booked it quite a while ago, to say that I'm vegan. And when I was checking in as well, I said I'm vegan, and they said, yep, absolutely no problem at all, go to the restaurant and they'll serve you. So she looked at me and like, oops, she said, well, I'm vegetarian, I'll go and ask the chef. And all they offered me was a mixed Spanish salad, which, as you know, really is not much, just a few leaves and a bit of carrot and maybe a bit of beetroot if you're super lucky, and a few slices of tomato. So I thought, well, that's not going to fill me up. So anyway, that came, and then for the second plate, she suggested this tumbler, which someone else had actually mentioned about being a good plate if you're a vegan here. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll have that as well. So the second plate came, and it was just a tiny plate of as they'd give as a starter, because it was actually a starter dish. So I looked at it, looked at her, she walked off. Then I thought, this is ridiculous. How can I do 27K I'd done that day and survive on this two little plates of food? So I asked her back across. She was very sympathetic, very nice. But I'd already left them a bad review by that moment on Google. I said to her, look, you need to be flexible here. If you want me to go and talk to the chef, I'll go and talk to the chef. But I cannot come here and only eat a bit of a salad and then a few, cooked aubergines in a tomato-y sauce, basically, with a few potatoes in it. So I said, why don't you make that about four times as big? And I've seen some other plates coming out with chopped up potatoes, like fried potatoes on them. So she said, should I take it away? I said, yes, please. So she took it away and then came back. And actually, it was a very nice dish in the end. But it just goes to show that some chefs really just don't care, even though I'd notified them before. They really did not care about giving me some nutritional food that I needed to do the walks. But in the end, it was all good. What was quite funny, I was there for two nights. And the second night, Or when I was leaving on the first night, I said to them, "Right, you've got 24 hours to prepare something really nice for me for tomorrow." And they, the waitresses both laughed. And I said, "No, come on, see what you can do." So I'm actually on the second night, they did have a vegan choices for me. So I actually had a Beyond Burger, would you believe it, which came with a tambula again, some chips. And for starters, they actually had asparagus for me. So yeah, there you go. Just goes to show, if you do create a bit of fuss in a very nice way, I was never rude to them at all. And they came up with what I needed to eat. So fast forward to this morning, I woke up and went and had a breakfast. It was actually, the breakfast was quite good. They had like a very Spanish-y style buffet, but they did have muesli, they had oat milk and soy milk, and what else did they have that I had? Oh, they had toast and some very nice jam that was made in Uke, it said, from mandarins, clementines. So that was a very nice start to the day. Everyone, there was a lot of walkers around, and this place must have over 100 bedrooms. So there's a lot of people, big walking groups, Germans, I heard, a few English, but mainly Germans, the walking groups were. So everyone was, had been looking at the weather, had been overhearing conversations of people saying about the weather, and I was obviously keeping a keen eye on the weather to see what it'd be doing. And it wasn't looking so good yesterday, but then when I woke up this morning, the forecast was looking much more promising with rain this afternoon, but not coming in till later on. So I decided to go for it anyway. This was quite a day's walk. It was 800 metres of climbing. And if to give that into perspective, Satalia on Ibiza is 500 metres above sea level. So it was in one day, it was climbing 800 metres. So 1.3 times the height of Satalia from sea level. So imagine doing that, quite a walk up. And it was 15K, so it wasn't actually so far, only 15 kilometres, but it was because it was a very difficult trail. So left the monastery in Uke and straight away was in back into the middle of the oak trees, which is nice, but it's very dark in the oak trees and it had been raining through the night, so it was very, very damp. And the track, some of it has been reformed, which was really quite nice, but it's still very difficult walking. You really can't look up and see what's around on the scenery because you're constantly having to keep an eye on where you're putting your feet to save slipping over. And of course, it's been raining, so a lot of the path where it wasn't the rock, it was muddy. But as I started to climb up, I could glimpse a few views through the forest, and some of the trees were just beautiful, covered in lots of moss, and you can just tell they've been there for a long time. And all the way along the way, there's these openings where there's lovely flat green mossy areas, and I was thinking that perfect place to put my tents, but of course I ditched the tent some time back now. And then I since found out from Stevie, thank you very much, that they're actually old charcoal ovens where they would make charcoal, so they'd burn wood very slowly and you'd get the charcoal from it. So that, and there were a lot of them around. And then I'd read as well that there's these ice things where they store ice. And they would come up in the winter when it snows up here, because apparently it does snow up here in winter. I can quite imagine that happening. And then they store the ice in these big oval sort of things they've made, and they're big, maybe 20, 30 metres long. And then in the summer, they come back and take the ice down to sell as ice cream. I thought, ice cream, is that really what they're doing with it? But apparently that's what it said in the leaflet anyway. But I'm sure they must have had other reasons for keeping the ice in these things and then taking it down in the summer. But that's what I was looking forward to seeing. So as I continued on through the day, it really was a beautiful, beautiful path. And then once I got through the forest, it really opened up and the views were just wow, just incredible. Big, tall mountains. Well, I got up to the level where which was above the tree line. So there was not so much stuff going on. And as we broke above the tree line, honestly, the views were just incredible, absolutely stunning. Very rocky mountains with a few sparse trees on them. And just beautiful, beautiful. It was very, very cloudy. And on top of the mountains, there were clouds. And the clouds were, you know, the same height as me. and whispering around and moving and dancing in the wind. Although there was very little wind, so it was beautiful to be actually walking in this, but I started to feel a chill coming in the air, because obviously now I was getting up to 900, 1,000 metres up, so it was starting to feel a bit chilly. And with walking up all the hills, getting incredibly sweaty walking up, and then as soon as you stop, you get cold because all the clothes you're wearing are wet in sweat. It's a lovely job. Lovely walking in this sort of weather. It really was amazing to break through, and honestly, it reminded me of is of when I used to go skiing, of being up in the mountains amongst the clouds. And the other beautiful thing was the silence. When you actually stopped and didn't move or anything, the silence was just beautiful, not a sound. And then a bloody aeroplane would come across or something like that. But it was really beautiful to be in such a silent place with very, very few people. And at the beginning, I didn't pass anyone at all. There seems to be hardly any people walking this route in the direction I'm walking it in. They're nearly all walking it in the other direction. And later on in the day, I must have passed probably 20 or 30 people, all walking it in the opposite direction to me. So obviously, as normal, I'm doing things the wrong way around. Or the right way around, whichever way you look at it. So yeah, that was very cool to actually meet a few people and say hello to them and how far you got to go and where you're from and that sort of thing. So it was nice to be doing that. And then the path got really, really cool. They've restored a part of it and it switches back. It's only maybe a meter and a bit wide, and they've restored it so it's better underfoot, but still very slippery because it's stone and there's wet leaves on it. And it switched back. It must have been about 30 to 40 times in the end, and it did that back and forward, back and forward, back and forward, going through the forest. And then it broke through above the forest, and then eventually I ended up at the highest point of the walk today, which was 1260 meters. That's a very, very high. I mean, most even ski resorts, the villages are normally about 1400 to 1700 meters. That gives you an idea. So it must be beautiful to come up here with the right gear and do some trekking with when there's snow around. It must be a very, very beautiful environment up here. No ski runs, as far as I could see. But when I broke through at the top, it was absolutely silent and there was no one there. So I got out my truss. I stopped. I thought, oh, I'm going to stop here. I've been going about 2.5 hours, I think, since I started off. And I decided to have a nice cup of tea. So I got my trusty chair out and my Jetboil. Still no sponsorship deal. And yeah, made a nice cup of tea. And then a few people turned up from Argentina and from Germany, I think they were. I can't remember, some two different groups, and got talking to them a bit. And it was just lovely to sit there, literally in the cloud. But it was the cloud was just hovering above our heads at that moment. So you still got the great views. Have a look at the photos online. They are really quite stunning to be that high up and in the clouds. And it wasn't cold. Well, it was a bit chilly, but I only had a jumper on over my t-shirt and I was fine just wearing that. I didn't need to get out my jacket or body warmer or nothing else. It was absolutely fine. So then after I rested for about 20 minutes, half an hour, I packed up, and then it felt like I wasn't going to have very far to go because it was only 15k. And then I looked at my trusty Garmin Epic watch, another sponsorship deal please coming there, which is absolutely brilliant. I mean, how they put that much technology into this watch is just phenomenal. So I'm using my Garmin Epic watch to load. I put the trails on it in the morning or when I need to put them on, and then I'm basically using that to follow it, and it gives you how much height you've got left to do, the distance, your average speed, your veganism, loads and loads of different things. And actually does give you sort of what state your body's in as well, whether you're good to do a big walk, whether you're low on energy, whether you're high on energy. And I know you can know whether you're tired or not, but it's quite interesting to have it from a digital point of view to see what they think the body is doing. Of course, it's only someone who's programmed it, so I guess they've got a big team checking it out and doing it properly. So yeah, that's very good to have. And I realised it was all downhill from that moment on, from the 1,260 metres up. It was all downhill. So downhill I started to go, and the path was terrible. It hadn't been repaired at all. There were a few sections where they were trying to repair it, but very, very rocky, very, very slippery, and really quite all over the place trying to get down. So basically most of the time you're looking at your feet, and I did stop quite a lot because I love looking at the scenery as well. And then I sort of felt like I must be getting there, but my watch was still telling me there was quite a way to go. And then I did check my other app, Rain Alarm, to see what the weather was like, because there was rain due in, and I saw some weather that was sort of looking like it might be coming in this way. But I still sort of, no, I'll be all right. It'll be, it'll pass by the other way. But I was getting a bit nervous about the rain, even though I've got all the right gear with me. And other people passing the other way were going, no, it's not going to rain. It'll be absolutely fine. So I just continued on. And then I suddenly stopped for a second and heard the trickling of water. And as I then looked down, it was the beginning of a little stream. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was like someone had made it in a botanical garden or something, similar to the one that was in the Kanyuk Monastery. It was absolutely beautiful. Lots of greenery, and it had obviously been running for years and years and years. And it must run all season, I think, because the moss was very, very big in some places and beautiful plants overhanging down to the water. And at one point there was a bit of an area where it looked like it was deep enough to go for a swim, or sort of not a swim, a sit. Maybe, yeah, sit. And I was tempted to do that, and in the end I didn't, but now I'm wishing I had. And I'm not going to walk back up there because it's a long way back up. And I was sort of feeling like I must be getting towards the end. But no, the path kept going and going and going and going and going and going, which it seems to do that for the last hour of any walk. When you know you've got an ending coming, it just goes on forever. And then some of the signs were very misleading. It said 1 hour at one moment, and I felt like I walked for half an hour, and then it still said 1 hour at the next sign. So that was a bit of miscommunication on those signs. And then the thunder started, and it was rumbling around, and some lightning started in the distance, and then I saw some rain in the distance. And I got to a sign that said 30 minutes to the refuge. So I thought, right, I'm not going to get wet. And I asked the gods to look after me, and I sort of powered down the crazy, horrible, very bad path going downhill still, trying to go fast but safely. And then I ended up with hearing the thunder, and then I could see some more rain coming in. So I thought, no, I'm going to be absolutely fine. And honestly, I got to the refuge. I started to see the refuge from above. I thought I was going to be walking up to it, but I'd misread the map. I was walking down to it and I saw it in the distance. I thought, great, that's good. And then literally, this is the God's honest truth, I got to the refuge, walked inside the door, and the heavens opened. And I mean they really opened it, absolutely threw it down, literally to the split second from when I got through the door. And the lovely receptionist looked up and went, my God, that was good timing. So I said, yep, it certainly was. So there you go, just proves to be ask for help from gods or angels or dragonflies or whatever it might be along the way. So I'm in this refuge tonight. It's actually very nice. It was an old farmhouse by the looks of it. I'm being totally restored. It's all very nice inside. I'm in a dormitory with 12 beds in it. So I don't know what sort of a night's sleep I'm going to get, but good earplugs will hopefully sort that out. And they know I'm vegan. He said I'm vegan, so I'm interested to see what I get for dinner. And in total, there's got to be like 50 beds here. There's a lot of people here all sat around. And now the rain has stopped, I'm actually recording the podcast outside, and it is still a bit, well, very grey around, bit of blue sky in the distance towards the sea I can see, but it's still very grey and damp, but very still, very quite beautiful here. And if I just let you listen to this for a sec, it's very quiet, very beautiful. And actually, as I'm looking up onto the mountains, there's a goat walking along the skyline. It looks like one of those things from a Western, you know, where you look up and you see the lone goat up on the top of the skyline. It really does look rather cool how the goat is up there all lonely by him. Well, not lonely. He's probably quite all right, a bit like me. Everyone says, people can say I'm lonely, but I'm fine walking around by myself. That was rather cool. So I'm going to see what today, this evening brings and tonight's sleep brings, although you'll be listening to this afterwards because there's no Wi-Fi. Well, there is actually Wi-Fi, so I might manage to get it uploaded. You don't know. And yeah, that is day number 16.